I don't need a microphone, do I? Hello? Are we there? Is it on? Okay, let me get myself put together one more thing here. Excuse me. Oh, wow. Thanksgiving. We have much to be thankful for, don't we? And this season of these holy days of Christmas, of Thanksgiving, of Advent. Why do we have these holy days, these holidays, to force us to remember what the event is all about? In doing some study in this week, I was studying some Jewish holy days. And the reason they would have these days was so that the people would remember forever what happened on this day and what it represents. And I was actually quite struck by how Jewish Christianity really is. I need to pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love and your grace and for your mercy, Father. I ask for your hand to be upon this service for the rest of today. Thank you for giving us these holy days to remind us of what really is going on, for your love for us, for your redemption of your people. Father, bless me. I need you. My brain goes blank and my notes are not very good. My handwriting's even worse. Father, be with me so that I could speak according to your will and not according to mine, Father. Save me from my own stupid self. And Father, be with us. Pour out your Spirit here. Change us. Make us new. Have your way with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Ah, these Jewish holy days, we kind of can steal from them, can't we? There is a holy day that was celebrated last September, and next year it'll be celebrated in October, won't it? The Day of Atonement. That should have some significance to us as Christians. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Let's see. We're going to read the entire book of Leviticus today. How's that? No, we're not. Laura threatened me that if I did that, I'd be sleeping in the doghouse. Leviticus 16, chapter 16, verse 29. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your soul, and you shall do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country, or a stranger that sojourneth among you. Verse 30, on that day the priest, shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord, and it shall be a Sabbath of rest to you. And you shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. 29:30. I could keep reading. But here's the priest, the high priest. Once a year, he goes into the Holy of Holies to make atonement for the people, for Yom Kippur. Let's see. This atonement, this word, it means, it has meaning of redeem or to ransom. It also talks of salvation and deliverance. And we can have it explained a little bit by turning to, where are we? Psalm 49. Yeah, that's a good one. Psalm 49. Psalm 49, we'll start in verse 7. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. None of them, none of us, none of those people, none of those people. They don't have enough shekels. They don't have enough money. They don't have enough time. They don't have enough good works. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give God a ransom for him. That means we can't do it. That one of our brothers can't do it. We can't redeem ourselves. We cannot redeem our dead. We cannot do this. But, verse 15, but. There's some buts here. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Selah. There is some good news going on here, isn't there? Now in Leviticus 16, kind of flip back and forth. Leviticus 16 tells us, and it's the whole chapter. We'll just kind of hang out here for a minute. Once per year, the same day per year, this Day of Atonement, the high priest, he would enter into the Holy of Holies. Now, some say they would tie a rope around his ankle in case something happened that they could get him out. And some say, no, that never happened. It doesn't matter. But once a year, the fact remains that he would go into the Holy of Holies to make atonement. He would call upon the name of Yahweh. He would call upon the name of the Lord to offer blood sacrifice, first for the temple, second for himself, because he was a sinner like us, and for his house, the house of Levi, for their sins, and for his people, the people of Israel. He would sprinkle upon the Holy of Holies the blood of a bull and the blood of a goat. All this whole time, this celebration, these holy days, it was a 10-day period called the Days of Awe. It was a Sabbath of rest with the bull and the two goats. And this was to seal the fate of the believers, the repentant believers, that they had this hope that their names would be written in the book of life for the rest of the year, for the entire next 12 months. So these are something that we need to keep an eye on as we go through this information. The Leviticus 16, 21 and 22. And Aaron, he was the first high priest, he shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. Verse 22, and the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. This is the scapegoat. Have we ever heard that term before? They would put on him the sins of the people. Now that must have taken a while. Or did they just go through points 1 through 10? I don't know how it exactly was done. But out in the wilderness would go the goat. They would tie a red string around his neck and give it to the best and toughest runner, and out they'd go. And the goat would never be seen again. But that thread would turn white. It was a supernatural thing. And it was recorded that that thread would turn white up until approximately 40 years before the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans. It would quit changing color. Now, if you do a little bit of math, we can kind of find out roughly when that time period was. I'm not going to do your math for you. So where are we to? The days of awe, the red string. Leviticus, we just turned over the page, 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for your soul. And then it's followed by a prohibition of eating blood. So once a year, the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies with the bull, with the blood of a bull and the blood of this one goat, not the other one, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat, which was resting on top of the Ark of the Covenant. This was done by the high priest. And who is the high priest? The first one was Aaron. They called him, this was Moses' older brother, and he was called HaKohen, the priest. He was in the Bible it talks about who the high priests are. We can go to Numbers, we'll just kind of skip it. It's in Numbers chapter 3. Maybe we better go there. There is some important stuff there. Numbers chapter 3. Or actually, it's Numbers chapter 3, 5 through 10. Lord spake unto Moses, and he said, bring the tribe of Levi near. Present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. And they shall keep his charge, the charge of the whole congregation of the tabernacle, of the congregation, and do service of the tabernacle. They shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle, and the charge of the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle. Let's skip up to verse 12. He says, and I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel. Levites would be Aaron and his descendants. The Levites from among all the children of Israel instead of the firstborn, that openeth the matrix among the children of Israel before the Levites. They shall be mine. Verse 13, the firstborn are mine, but on that day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine they shall be. I am the Lord. What I want to point out here is, instead of the firstborn, they're his anyways, but instead of the firstborn, we have the Levites to do the service. And that is something that we shall see change later. One more point that I want to pull out of Numbers, and it's in there twice. We'll just go to Numbers chapter 4, verse 3. The descendants of the priests, the Levites, verse 3, for 30 years old and upwards, even till 50 years, that do enter into the host, do the work of the tabernacle of the conversation. 30 years old. That's what I wanted to pull out of that. The high priest was not ritually unclean. He was to have no contact with dead people. He was to be washed in living water, a full bath. Living water means the water runs in and it runs out. It's coming from somewhere and it's going to somewhere. He would do this ritual bath, the mikveh, the living water. He was consecrated by a week-long ceremony of purification, rituals of sacrifices. He was to be smeared on his right ear and his right big toe with the blood of sacrificial animals. It's all in there, exactly what they did to these priests and to the high priest. He was anointed with sacred oil, and it was oil that had wonderful fragrances in it. But the high priest, he was superior to all the other priests. He had the bigger turban. He had the more elaborate robes. He was generally more wealthy than all the other priests. And if he wasn't, they took up a collection plate to make sure that he was. so we could recognize him, they could recognize him by the way he looked, by the way he dressed, and he was to be holy. Only the king, if Israel had a king at that time, only the king was superior to the high priest in ultimate ecclesiastical authority. And he was to serve, the high priest was to serve between God and man as the mediator. If we can remember in Exodus, all the people said to Moses, "No, you go talk to God. We don't want to hear his voice, lest we die." So Moses was the go-between, the mediator between the great I am and the people. Well, the priest was to serve as the mediator between God and man. Just turning the page, there's one more thing we kind of mentioned it, but I don't really want to get into it. But the king was superior to the high priest. Almost equal, but we have a little bit of a strange anomaly going on here with Melchizedek. His name means the king of peace, king of Salem. Salem means peace. And a priest of the Most High God. He was a priest of El Elyon. We can find out the story of Melchizedek meeting Abraham as he returns back from this war, the slaughter of the kings. He, king of Salem, king of peace, priest of the Most High God, he brought Abraham, who was known as Abram at that time, his name would later change, he brought him bread and wine. And Melchizedek, priest of the Most High God and king of Salem, king of peace, he blessed Abram and he blessed God. He stood in between. And he received gifts or tithes from Abraham, serving as a priest to go between Abram and the Most High God. So these points that we need to keep in mind here as we progress forward through the Word are this atonement, this ransom, this redemption, to deliver, to save is a theme that we find in the Old Testament. And sacrifice, blood sacrifice, that something had to die, that something shed its blood for these rituals. For substitution, we have this poor scapegoat chased out with his red thread around his neck by the best runners in the land. The scapegoat. These sacrifices were to purge defilement in the temple. For the sins of the high priest and for sins of his family, his people, and for the sins of Israel. But skip back to this substitution thing. I found it fascinating, and this is something I hadn't encountered before, that the Levites were a substitution for the firstborn. Instead of, it says. So this theme of substitution. Age, 30 years old. Keep that in mind. That he was not unclean, this high priest. That he was ritually pure. He was washed. He was consecrated. He was anointed. Hopefully his name was written in the book of life. He was a mediator between God and man. He received gifts for God from man. And he was appointed by God. He was called by God. Let's find out who satisfies all of these things. Let's turn forwards to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Verse 25. Starting at verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah, the Lord's anointed. And he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Simeon, took him, Jesus, up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, let now thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation. Let me just die now. My eyes are full. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. So Simeon knew who he saw. He was the consolation of Israel, the salvation of Israel, and a light to the Gentiles. Let's turn the page, Luke 3. Luke 3, starting in verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized by John the Baptist, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like the dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. So here we are, Jesus is being baptized. He's being ritually washed clean by and in living water. Ritually clean. Verse 23, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. He was 30 years of age, as were the high priests when they began their service. So here's this voice coming from heaven. Here's this Holy Spirit coming down in bodily form like a dove. We have God saying, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. He is being consecrated, called apart, identified by the Father. Here is my Son. And he's 30 years old. Let's see. Let's skip ahead to John chapter 4. I got bookmarks so I can cheat. And this is where Jesus is meeting with the Samaritan woman by the well. And Jesus answered her and said unto her, If thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman said, Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. How will you give me this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and the children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. So not only was he washed in living water, he is living water. And this is further confirmed in John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So not only is he living water, he gives us living water. That is a theme that we have seen fulfilled, that Jesus is the living water. Now, Luke chapter 10. Verse 20. Luke chapter 10, verse 20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Your names are written in heaven. This sounds like the book of life. When we should rejoice because our names are written there. And in Revelation verse 20, verse 15, it talks about the destiny of those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that they will go. Revelation 20:15. And whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. That is the hope that we have, that our names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it continues how Jesus is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, the king, the priest. And there was just so much. In the book of Hebrews, we could start at chapter 2, and read all the way up to and including chapter 11 and every point of the high priest is fulfilled by Jesus. Hebrews, we'll just touch on a few of them here, and I would highly recommend going home and reading the book of Hebrews. Chapter 2, verse 9, but we see Jesus who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle, the apostle and high priest of our profession or of our confession, Christ Jesus. Skip to chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then, 4, verse 14, 15, and 16. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's keep reading. 4, 5. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. You see all these points of the high priest being fulfilled. Who can have compassion on the ignorant, that on them that are out of the way, for he himself, for that he himself also is compassed with him, is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, also for himself to offer for sins. And no man takes this honor unto himself, but he that was called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but that he said unto him, Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. And he says in another place, Thou art forever a priest after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect or completed. He, who? Jesus. Became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God, a high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. And it continues. There's just so much here that's much better than I could ever write or speak. So we'll keep reading. Chapter 6, verse 18, 19, 20. Hebrews 6, verse 18, that by two immutable things, in that it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that was set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner for us is entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For Melchizedek, king of Salem, chapter 7, priest of the Most High, met Abraham. It's all there. Comparing Jesus to the high priest, king of peace, king of Salem, king of righteousness. Skip to chapter 8, verse 1. Now of this things which we have spoken in this time, we have such a high priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens, a minister in the sanctuary, and the true tabernacle which the Lord has pitched and not made. The Lord has pitched and not man. Let's see, there was one thing. Oh, yes. In 7, verse 26, we do have a high priest. For such a high priest, verse 26, became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. This who, this high priest, is Jesus. These are the qualifications of the high priest. No man can fill that but Jesus. But Jesus, who needed not daily offer up as those high priests to offer sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's, he did once when he offered up himself. He did it once. He didn't need to sacrifice for his own sins because there weren't any. Let's skip forward to chapter 9, verse 11. I pretty much got the whole book of Hebrews written down, but we can't do that. But please, go home. Read the book of Hebrews and find out who this high priest, this king, this one who offered sacrifice for sins once and for all. Chapter 9, verse 11, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, he purged your consciousness from dead works to serve the living God. Verse 15, he is the mediator of the New Testament. All these things that we saw in the Old Testament of the high priest are fulfilled by Jesus as the high priest after the order of Melchizedek in the New Testament. Let's see, 10. 10 verse 4, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Not possible. It was all a symbol, all pointing forward to the once and for all sacrifice that Jesus made. Let's go 10 verse 10. I'm supposed to read 10 all the way through 25. We'll kind of skim it. 10 verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Verse 12, but this man, after he had suffered one sacrifice for the sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He sat. He didn't run. He's not standing. He's sitting. The Sabbath rest. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. Verse 14, for one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Verse 16, a new covenant. A new covenant I will make with them. This was prophesied in the Old Testament, this new covenant. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds. I will write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Not only is that good for us, he doesn't remember our sins, our iniquities, but it's good for that goat with the red string. It's good for the bull and good for the other goat that didn't get chased out in the wilderness. He will remember our sins no more. This is Jesus. He is our high priest. He is the one that goes between God and man. We can approach the throne of grace with confidence in time of need. He died for our sins, to make that sacrifice. He was buried. And he rose again on the third day. He was dead and he is not. And all this, according to the scriptures, that he is our high priest. He is our mediator between God and us. He is our substitutionary sacrifice. It was him that was put on the iniquity of us all. And we come to him for rest. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. And we trust him. He is there for us. We come to him. We confess our sins. We believe that he is, and that he is the one who God raised from the dead. We confess with our mouths and believe with our hearts all these things, and he is faithful and just to forgive us and to write our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is a hallelujah. Don't take all my word for it, because I'm not very graceful with words. I'm not eloquent. But go read the book of Hebrews. It'd be a nice thing to do this afternoon after we're done here. And fall in love with Jesus and with this season and with the holy days, with the reminders of His birth, of His death, of His resurrection, of the sacrifice that He made, and of forgiveness of sins, and to have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God, thank You so much for Your grace, for Your mercy, for not giving us what we deserve, and for putting on Jesus the iniquity of all, of us all. Father, thank You for Your word, that we can open it up, that we can drink deeply from this living water. Thank You, Father, that we can come to You through Jesus and just to enjoy this grace. Thank You for providing us a way that we can be forgiven of the most horrendous, most ugly transgressions, iniquities, sins, that You have made it possible. And we love You because You first loved us. Father, be with us the rest of the day. Make us new. Continue to have Your way and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.